I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game.
I'm perturbed.
Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance, like with a big leather helmet on, like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com. Good morning, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. I am your host this week, Will. Unfortunately, Chris Espo couldn't be here. He had a family obligation that he had to attend to. So, sitting in for him, he's known as Purple Jesus on the show.
Hey.
Everywhere else, he's known as one of my best friends in the world, the impact player, Mr. Phil Rea.
Good morning.
And as always with us, right behind me, super producer Joe C.
That's me.
All right, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Fantastic.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. So we are going to start off, as we always do, reviewing last week's games.
How did I do last week? Probably sucky, I know.
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But when we get to Pros versus Joes, I'll be more than happy to remind you, Joe.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to start off with one of the early games, the New England Patriots kind of redeeming themselves after losing to the Jets, beating the Miami Dolphins 27-17.
Yeah, it didn't look good for the Pats there for a little while.
No, it really didn't. They were down 17-3 at the half, and then all of a sudden they decided to wake up and play.
Yeah, Brady had like a broken hand.
Yeah, nobody seems to know exactly what's up with that. What's up with the hand swelling?
I don't know, but it looked very deformed and disfigured, so I thought it was broke, and he was throwing with it. He was amazing.
Yeah, well,
so
you know, Tom Brady can knock him down, but you're never going to keep him down. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
He constantly gets back up, unfortunately. But passing stats for Brady, 13 of 22 for 116 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's a really bad day for him.
And still won.
Right. Right.
And he's doing this with nobody, let's be honest. You know, he spreads the ball better than anybody.
He's definitely up there with people who spread the ball. Him and Peyton Manning, in my mind, they both spread the ball amazingly. They do a really good job of doing that. Ryan Tannehill, 22 of 42, 192 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Going on to the rushing stats for the Dolphins. Finally, Lamar Miller seems to be waking up. 18 rushes for 89 yards. Daniel Thomas was right behind him with 9 rushes for 47 yards. No rushing touchdowns for the Dolphins at all. Heading on over to the Patriots. Stavon Ridley, 14 attempts, 79 yards, 1 touchdown. And Brandon Bolden, 8 rushes for 22 yards, 1 touchdown. LeGarrette Blount, he's doing decent as a spell to Stavon Ridley, but 11 rushes for 46 yards.
You know, that Dolphin defense, man, it's gotten better.
It's gotten a lot better.
We talked about that last year when they were on the HBO show.
When
they did the Hard Knocks last season.
Right.
I thought that defense was going to get better, and they've gotten better. I think they're another season away from doing really good things over there with that defense.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, we'll get more into it when we review the Thursday night game. But that Dolphins defense, the Dolphins as a team, have really kind of turned themselves around since early in the season. What are they now? I don't remember their record. I think they're like 5-3.
Miami?
Yeah.
Miami's 3-4.
3-4. All right, so I'm a little off. But even still, I mean,
they're 3-5 now because they lost to they won. They're evened up now.
All right, so my dyslexia kicked in. But
pretty much.
They're really starting to turn things around, and it's good to see. I like to see the Dolphins actually do something decent. Heading on over to the receiving stats. For the Dolphins, Charles Clay, 5 receptions, 37 yards. Brian Hartline, 4 receptions, 37 yards. Really nobody else. Daniel Thomas, 1 grab for 5 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Gibson, one grab, 4 yards, and a touchdown. Heading on over to the receiving stats for the Patriots, Aaron Dobson, 4 grabs, 60 yards, 1 touchdown. Rob Gronkowski actually silenced in this game, 2 grabs, 27 yards. Chris and I both kind of picked him to have a big game against this weak Miami linebacking core, but doesn't seem to be the case.
No, they're playing better as a team, man. They really are. And they showed it Thursday night. We'll get into that in a few
minutes.
But
they did. Danny Amendola, 3 grabs for 15 yards. Justin Edelman, 2 grabs for 7 yards. Really kind of a subpar day for the whole receiving core. We're going to move on now to Kansas City. Kansas City beat out the Cleveland Browns 23-17. Now, this is a game that neither Chris and I didn't think should have been this close.
Neither did my wife, and she's mad because the Chiefs didn't cover.
Jason Campbell comes back as a starter for the Browns and actually put up good numbers. 22 of 36, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, as compared to Alex Smith, who went 24 for 36 for 225 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. Where did this come from Jason Campbell?
I'm just happy he has somebody named Fozzie Whitaker taking receptions from him. That's outstanding. Fozzie took a touchdown in the third quarter, and I was like, wait a minute, did that guy just say Fozzie Whitaker? And I cheered. So
that's fantastic.
Yep. You can't hate someone named Fozzie.
I can't hate someone named Fozzie. No, you can't. Are you kidding me?
It's just, I think it's technically
it's
illegal.
It's wrong. No, you know, Cleveland is the stepchildren of the National Football League every year.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get an identity, and every time they try to make an identity for themselves, it turns out that they can't. They lose a receiver, they lose a quarterback, they trade somebody away. They always miss that one or two pieces that can make them whole again, you know? And they haven't been really good since the late 80s.
So. No, and you know what? They're actually looking kind of smart with getting rid of Trent Richardson.
Because he's not doing well in Indianapolis.
Not at all.
In that scheme, anyway. I don't think it suits him.
You know, again, I mean, it is a very pass-happy league. And I don't think the scheme has a lot to do with it because they do like to run the ball in Indy.
Then why not give him the ball like they should be?
Because he's not doing anything with it. Again, something we'll get into when we get to the Indianapolis game. But the rushing stats, Willis McGahee for the Browns, 9 attempts, 28 yards. Jason Campbell ran the ball 3 times for 17 yards. And Chris Ogbayana, 3 rushes for 12 yards. No rushing touchdowns at all in this game. Kansas City Chiefs, 18 attempts. Jamaal Charles, 18 rushes for 74 yards. Alex Smith, 6 rushes for 40 yards. Who knew Alex Smith could run like that?
When he's running for his life, yeah.
I guess. And nothing else really going on as far as rushing.
I'm a big Alex Smith fan. You know that. I've always been an Alex Smith fan. You know that.
All right. So let me throw this question out to you. I threw it out to Chris 2 weeks ago. Who's kicking themselves more right now? The San Francisco 49ers for getting rid of Alex Smith or the Philadelphia Eagles for getting rid of Andy Reid?
Wow. I'm going to say Andy Reid. Because I don't know if Alex Smith could prosper under any other guy right now at this moment in the league. I think Andy Reid's the right guy, right time. You could have put anybody there with Andy Reid, and they would have succeeded. Only because Andy Reid knows how to win football games right now with that system he has implemented.
Okay.
I'm taking nothing away from Alex Smith. I love Alex Smith, and you know that. I've been an Alex Smith fan for like 2-3 seasons. I just think that Andy Reid, not only is he coach of the year, he's coach of the decade at this point, for turning that team, who was dismal. There hasn't been a greater turnaround since the Colts.
Right.
And even they had some growing pains with Andrew Luck. But I don't know. Andy Reid's been the man right now. So I think Andy Reid, I think they're kicking themselves in the butt for getting rid of Andy Reid, Philadelphia.
All right. I tend to think it's San Francisco because look at what Alex Smith is doing now. Alex Smith was having a good year last year with San Francisco, got the concussion, got pushed out of the way for Colin Kaepernick, and now he's undefeated.
Maybe if San Fran would be losing, I'd say that, but they're winning games. They're not dominant. But
that's just it.
Right.
I think they would be.
I see your point.
I think they would be dominant if Alex Smith was still there.
I see your point.
Heading on over to the receiving stats, Josh Gordon, 5 grabs, 132 yards on a touchdown. Jordan Cameron, 4 grabs, 81 yards. Fozzie Whitaker,
Yeah.
Phil's new favorite player.
Yep.
Two grabs, 22 yards and a touchdown.
Big grab in the third quarter.
Now heading down to the Chiefs. Dexter McCluster, 7 grabs, 67 yards and a touchdown. Jamal Charles grabbed 5 passes for 46 yards on top of his 74 yards rushing. Anthony Sherman, 3 grabs for 23 yards and a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe, very silent in this game, as well as Anthony Fasano. Dwayne Bowe, 1 grab for 7 yards. Fasano, 2 grabs for 14 yards. Very pedestrian for everybody else. Heading on over to Jacksonville.
Eek. As I have their mouse pad.
That's awful.
It's a gift.
All right. San Francisco 49ers beat out the Jacksonville Jaguars 42-10.
At least they covered.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I could cover versus the Jaguars.
They're going to be the next Cleveland Browns.
I don't know about that, man.
I don't see them doing anything soon, anytime. Nobody wants to play there. Nobody wants to go to their games.
Nobody wants to go to London.
Nobody wants to go to London.
Oh, sorry.
That too. It's too much fog.
I agree. Colin Kaepernick in this game. 10 passes. 10 completions out of 16 attempts. 164 yards, 1 touchdown. Colt McCoy actually came into the game for a play. Had a completion for 13 yards.
Good for him.
Yay. Chad Henne for the Jaguars. 29 of 45. 228 yards and a touchdown. Really not a bad day for Henne.
Considering he'll put 10 points on the board, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, statistically, it's not horrible.
Yeah, and they just lost Cecil Shorts. Not Cecil. They lost Justin Blackman.
Justin Blackman they lost.
Stupid.
We'll touch on that after we cover this.
Right.
The rushing stats. Apparently, the 49ers were just letting anybody who wanted to run. Kendall Hunter, 9 rushes for 84 yards, no touchdowns. Frank Gore, 19 for 71, 2 touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick, 7 for 54 for 2 touchdowns. Kyle Williams, Anthony Dixon, and Bruce Miller also ran the ball for the 49ers on this day. That's 6 people rushing the ball. You don't see that very often in an NFL game.
Oh, you can do it against Jacksonville.
Well, all right.
They're not gonna do that this week.
No.
Just against Jacksonville.
Right, exactly. For the Jaguars, MJD, 19 rushes to 75 yards, finally starting to move himself up. He's been dismal all season.
He has been, absolutely.
As the team's been dismal, he's been just as dismal. Denard Robinson, 4 rushes for 15 yards, nothing else worth mentioning. Going to the receiving stats, Anquan Boldin, 4 grabs, 56 yards. Vernon Davis, 3 grabs, 52 yards on a touchdown. Bruce Miller, 2 grabs, 56 yards. And Kyle Williams and Frank Gore each had a grab. Over to the Jaguars. Cecil Shorts, 7 grabs for 74 yards. MJD grabbed the ball 6 times for 47 yards. Mike Brown grabbed the ball 3 times for 43 yards. And Justin Blackman, 4 receptions, 31 yards. Oh, and a couple days later, suspended for PEDs.
When are these people going to learn?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know exactly what he was suspended for. Okay? I don't know what the drug was. Did that ever come out? Did you see that?
No, but we spoke about this in length on 2 different podcasts now. You're responsible for your body as an athlete.
Right.
Can you transform that into, you know, to something positive? You have a responsibility to yourself, to your team, to your public, you know, you have a fan base. People root for you. People pay to see you, even though not many.
Right.
But, I mean, come on, man. You are responsible for what you put into your body.
And let's look at it this way, too. He was out for 6 games to start the season.
Yeah.
Came back, had a couple of monster games.
Yeah.
This, I believe, was his 3rd game back, kind of pedestrian for him. But now, all of a sudden, he gets the PED suspension. So, you know, can you attribute those 2 games to the PEDs that he was allegedly taking?
I just, again, you're a grown man. Take responsibility. Take responsibility of your body. And, you know, there's a list of what not to take. Don't take it.
The list is huge.
Still, they pay people for that.
I know.
Yet they have personal trainers. They have doctors. These guys don't do anything on their own.
Right.
Not since college.
Right.
Okay? So, address that. and you're a failure. And you're more of a failure because I had to drop you on not one but two fantasy teams that I have. So you know what? You deserve it. I'm sorry. It's just you're a disaster.
He's suspended for the rest of the season. We'll have the opportunity to come back at the beginning of next season. And the Jaguars have hinted that they might actually have him come back as a Jaguar. They won't necessarily release him.
Yeah.
So that remains to be seen.
Cut that dead weight.
Still, he's got a lot of potential. He's got a
lot of potential. He's phenomenal.
You put him, if you put him on the Giants right now, I think the Giants are actually a little bit different. I think the Giants are better.
You put him on any team with a consistent offense, any team,
right.
Kansas City, a Philadelphia, a Minnesota, who needs that deep threat, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the Giants and what I am going to call the snooze fest of the week.
What, that, Giant- that stellar defense didn't do it for you?
It wasn't even stellar defense. Giants win 15-7 over the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. It's a win. And a win is a win. I like wins. Especially a divisional win. They beat the Eagles. Fan-freaking-tastic. And their offense seemed to be clicking at certain points. They couldn't find the end zone. And another thing I'm going to say about this, too. It seems like whenever the Giants start to put together a really good drive, a stupid penalty destroys it. A stupid penalty will destroy it.
Well, that's been your theme all season.
I know.
Not finding the end zone, taking bad penalties. Now you're halfway through the season, and you still don't have a chemistry.
No.
You even brought somebody back into the fold who knew the system.
Right.
And you're benching him as a healthy scratch. Like, you can't.
He's not necessarily a healthy scratch. That's the problem.
Well,
he was
a healthy option. They could have used him. You know. And I just think that it's this team is not clicking. You know? So
absolutely not.
But yeah, they get a sloppy win against the rival, which they need. You need divisional wins regardless.
I won't dispute that, but at this point, a win is a win, and it doesn't matter what you win in the division. You're not.
Well,
gonna
if
win
you
want to
make the playoffs, you got to win those divisional games.
If they want to make the playoffs, they should have won games earlier in the season.
I totally agree, but you still have some delusional fans through social media that are convinced that the New York Football Giants are a playoff team.
Absolutely not. Well, not because, with the way they're playing.
Well, the division is so bad that technically you're only two or three games out of first place.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
I mean, mathematically, you're still in it. I agree with you. I think they're terrible. But mathematically, they're still in it. So if you want to win sloppy games against a division rival, that's a perfect time to do it. And that's the only positive thing you have to look at.
Absolutely. I will not dispute that. But at the same time, I don't want to see this Giants team get into the postseason simply because it's such a sloppy team.
I totally
agree.
They're
playing horrible football. That is not the kind of football that should be played after December.
Absolutely.
It just shouldn't happen. But looking at the statistics, Eli Manning, 25 of 39, 246 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Michael Vick started the game, six completions out of nine attempts, 31 yards, and a pulled hamstring. Matt Barkley comes in, 17 passes for 26 attempts, 158 yards, and an interception. Michael Vick also had an interception in this game. Heading on over to the rushing stats, Peyton Hillis, 20 rushes for 70 yards. Michael Cox, 9 rushes for 19 yards. I wasn't sure how to feel about the Peyton Hillis signing.
He's been huge.
But he's been doing it. He's been doing it for the Giants right now. And Peyton Hillis is also a dual threat. He'll catch the ball coming out of the backfield.
Absolutely.
So he's kind of like almost like a Brandon Jacobs when Brandon Jacobs was good. You know, where he could pound the ball hard, but he'll also catch the ball out of the backfield for you.
Absolutely.
So, Shady McCoy for the Eagles, 15 rushes for 48 yards. Receiving statistics for the Giants, Victor Cruz, 7 grabs, 86 yards. Hakeem Nicks, 7 grabs, 51 yards. Brandon Myers, 3 grabs for 42. Peyton Hillis grabbed the ball 30 times for 15 yards. Nothing else really worth talking about. Receiving stats for the Eagles, DeSean Jackson grabbed the ball 8 times for 63 yards. Jason Avant, 3 grabs for 54 yards. Brent Celek, 2 grabs for 17 yards. The N-bomb bandit, Riley Cooper, 2 grabs for 13 yards. And that's really about it. Heading on over to the Dallas Cowboys at Detroit Lions.
Game of the week.
Abso-freaking-lutely. 1-point win for the Lions, 31-30 over the Cowboys. This was just an amazing game, and we'll talk about the one individual specifically in a moment. All right. Matthew Stafford for the Lions, 33 of 48 for 488 yards.
Unbelievable.
One touchdown, two interceptions. Tony Romo, 14 of 30 for 206 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. I'm just going to try to kind of speed through everything because there's really only one thing to talk about besides the closeness of the game.
Right.
Rushing stats for the Cowboys. Joseph Randle, 14 rushes, 26 yards. Lance Dunbar, 5 rushes for 16 yards. Heading on over to the Lions, Reggie Bush had himself a day, 21 attempts, 92 yards on a touchdown. Joique Bell, 4 rushes, 32 yards on a touchdown. Matthew Stafford rushed the ball 3 times for 12 yards on a touchdown. Going on over to the Dallas Cowboys receiving stats, Dez Bryant grabbed the ball 3 times for 72 yards, 2 touchdowns. Joseph Randle, 3 grabs for 18 yards. Terrence Williams, 2 grabs for 64 yards on a touchdown. Heading on over to the Lions. I'm not going to mention him first. He's going to be the last one I mention. Well, he's really the only one worth mentioning.
Megatron.
Calvin Johnson. 14 grabs, 1 touchdown, 329 yards. Second most receiving yards in a game ever.
Who was the first, Michael Irvin?
I don't remember.
We'll look that up. Look that up.
But I'll
look it up.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I look down at my fantasy on my phone every now and again, and I saw his stats. I mean, they were kind of spinning like that national debt counter in Manhattan.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. I mean, all of a sudden, I had 55 points total from him. It was amazing to watch. Unfortunately, I wasn't getting that game on TV. I don't have the red zone.
No, he set the season record. So he is the...
He's the record holder now?
Yep.
I thought he was second. I thought somebody
single
was...
Single season receiving yards.
Single game.
In a game. I'm sorry. 1 second.
In a game. Yeah, because I forget who it was. I know there was one person. Because to me, it was amazing. He had 299 yards, and everybody was saying, oh, he's sixth most. Then all of a sudden, couple grabs more, he has 30 more yards, and he's second on the list. I was actually kind of surprised to find out he was only second. I thought he would have been much higher than that. I thought he would have been first and blown some people away.
Yeah, Jerry Rice did it last time.
Jerry Rice, how many yards did he have? Let me guess, like 330 or 331. He probably felt like a yard or two short.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. You're looking at it, not me.
I know.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
So as Phil continues to look for that, we're just going to move on a little bit. What was the next one? I just lost my place. Oh, here we go. New Orleans beats up on the Buffalo Bills, 35-17.
It just says his name.
All right. Well.
122 passes.
Who, what?
Never mind. Keep going.
All right. Buffalo Bills, they lose again, 35-17 to the Saints. Another game I thought the Saints would have handled more readily. But, again, the Bills seem to have, their defense seems to be coming around a little bit. Passing statistics for the Buffalo Bills, Thaddeus Lewis, 22 of 39, 234 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Drew Brees, 26 of 34, 332 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Keep him up.
He's your starting quarterback, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Rushing stats. Fred Jackson, 15 of 45 and a touchdown. Tashard Choice, 7 of 35. New Orleans Saints, Pierre Thomas, 14 rushes for 65 yards. No rushing touchdowns in this game at all for the Saints. Heading on over to the receiving stats. Scott Chandler, 7 grabs, 72 yards. Steve Johnson, 7 grabs, 72 yards and a touchdown. Marquise Goodwin, 3 grabs, 56 yards. and nobody else really worth talking about. Heading on over to the Saints. Kenny Stills. Three grabs, 129 yards, two touchdowns. Ben Watson, three grabs, 45 yards. Jimmy Graham, three grabs, 37 yards, two touchdowns. Lance Moore, three grabs, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Pierre Thomas, Marquez Colston also each had a couple of grabs for around, Pierre Thomas had 29 yards. Marquez Colston had 18. So, again, Buffalo seems to be coming around also. They're not coming around, I think, as well as the Jets. But the Saints should have handled them better than they did.
The Jets are flat-out lucky at this point. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to offend any Jets fan, but you guys are absolutely lucky at this point with the way you're playing. And, you know, the Bills are trying to get that identity. They have guys in place.
Yeah.
Quarterback situation's always been an issue with them for the last couple of seasons anyway. You give a guy a big contract, he doesn't produce, he gets hurt.
Their quarterback situation's kind of been in flux since Jim Kelly left.
Right, and you've had guys in place in terms of coaching, where you've had some good coaches come in there.
Absolutely.
Coordinators, too. And just, it doesn't work out for them. So, I mean, they're trying to get their identity. So.
Well, see what happens. Hopefully they can come around, too, because I'm starting to feel like they're more like the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, they're a little more successful than Cleveland.
They are a little more successful than Cleveland, but look at what's happening. They have all these great players coming through. And the problem with the Bills is they get these great players coming in early in their career, so they're still kind of developing them, and they develop them. And then they leave and go to another team, and all of a sudden, they're tearing up the league.
They have to create an incentive for them. I think they have to open the money, the wallet up a little bit, get some guys in here, and get that team back to some... You know,
respectability.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, Paul.
Obviously,
you knew where I was going with that. Obviously,
yeah. No, absolutely.
And I love the way we think, but I don't think they'd be as bad as Cleveland or Jacksonville. I just think they're a couple of players away from doing big things. Honestly,
they certainly can be. They absolutely certainly can be. Heading on over to Cincinnati, Bengals. They just teabag the Jets, 49-9.
Since week three, I think teabagging is a great word. I try to incorporate it in all my vocabulary. You know, again, another team that since week three wasn't clicking. After week three, the Red Rocket. I mean, Andy Dalton is on fire.
Yeah,
I mean, they lost AJ Green, I believe, for the year. Was it?
It was him. Yes.
Oh no, they lost. It was AJ. Well, they lost somebody Thursday night, but they've been running on all cylinders. So.
Right.
So right. They've been having a fantastic season so far.
Passing stats for the Jets: Geno Smith, 20 of 30, 159 yards and two picks.
I still like Geno Smith.
I like him too. Matt Sims comes in three completions, seven passes, 17 yards. For the Bengals, Andy Dalton, 19 of 30, 325 yards, five touchdowns, one interception.
If I can just pull something out of Chris's playbook, can we stop with the Matt Sims? I heard Jeff fans, can we stop with the Matt Sims starting him? Oh, we had a great game in August. Yes, against the third-string defense. I'm not saying Matt Sims is bad, but Geno Smith is your better option. Let the kid, let him play, ride him out.
And again, Chris and I said this earlier in the season. I said it to Chris. You can't take Geno Smith out of the mix now. You're halfway through the season. He's playing decent.
He is. I think he's doing great.
He's playing decent.
A lot of poise.
You know, he's not playing like Mark Sanchez was when Mark Sanchez entered the league. He doesn't have the weapons around him to do that.
He does not.
But if you put Mark Sanchez as the quarterback on this team, he's not having the same success as Geno Smith is. Geno Smith is your best option. If you remove Geno Smith now for any other reason other than injury, you are going to ruin another quarterback. You are going to ruin him. You're going to destroy his psyche, and that's it. So stop with this nonsense. You got to give the guy a break. All right? We're just going to finish up these stats real quick, and then we're going to cut into a break. Rushing stats for the Jets. Matt Sims rushed 3 times for 35 yards. Really? He doubled his passing yards rushing.
Pretty much. He's running for his life.
Bilal Powell, 10 rushes for 19 yards. Great job. Chris Ivory, 6 rushes for 11 yards. For the Bengals, the law firm, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, 11 rushes, 35 yards. Giovanni Bernard, 5 rushes for 18 yards. He's kind of... He's been off the last few weeks, really. The receiving stats for the Jets. David Nelson, 8 grabs, 80 yards. Stephen Hill, 4 grabs for 23 yards. Jeremy Curley, 3 grabs for 27 yards. Very poor receiving stats all around. Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Jones, 8 grabs, 122 yards, 4 touchdowns. Huge, huge game.
Yep.
I don't care who you are. That's a huge game for anybody. A.J. Green, 3 grabs, 115 yards. Jermaine Gresham, 2 grabs, 14 yards on a touchdown. Tyler Eifert had a decent, had an average day at best. 2 grabs for 23 yards. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to cut to a quick break. Try to get the wet the whistle and get everything going again. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com, and we will be right back after this.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Bless Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle. Whoa.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the General Show.
Welcome back to the Ellison Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Hey, Danielle, you know when you're watching the news and you see those really dumb people?
Yeah.
You know how you just want to make fun of them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can. All you got to do is take those really stupid articles or videos that you see online and send it to us at dumbass@thesullyshowonline.com.
What's that address again?
It's dumbass@thesullyshowonline.com, and we might just use it for the show.
Right here on morelikeradio.com, Sundays, noon to 2.
Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense.
Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on MoreLikeRadio.com.
This is Donald Jones, and you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com.
We are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon for all your football needs. So we just finished talking about the atrocity that was the Jets' performance against the Bengals. We're going to move on to a game that really surprised me. Pittsburgh at Oakland. The Raiders win 21-18. Raiders were up 21-3 at the half. And then all of a sudden, the Pittsburgh Steelers woke up in the fourth quarter scoring 15 points.
If anybody had red zone, you were just as in shock as I was. Because every time you blinked, they would show a highlight of them in a red zone. Like the first quarter and a half. And I had about 12 people in the room with me, and we were all just in awe.
Like, right.
Who is this again? Who?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Who and the what now?
It's just absolutely astonishing. And you look at Terrell Pryor's numbers. 10 of 19 for 88 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions. How did they win? You know? Compared to Ben Roethlisberger, who was 29 of 45, 275 yards, a touchdown and two picks. I mean, this is obviously a pretty defensive game. Rushing stats, Le'Veon Bell came crashing down the earth hard. 13 rushes for 24 yards, found the end zone once. Oakland Raiders, Terrell Pryor, I have an issue with this. I always have an issue with this. Your quarterback should not be your leading rusher. 9 attempts, 106 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, but he's a running quarterback, isn't he?
I understand that, but...
But if you don't have that second option, he has to run. Don't tell Michael Vick that. Don't tell RG3 that. They have no identity crisis. Again, if you take one element out and don't have both elements, if that's your only option, I don't really have a problem with that. If you have an established back and you have more rushing yards than your running back, then I definitely have a problem with that.
Darren McFadden, 24 attempts, 73 yards. Although I will say Darren McFadden has had an extremely subpar year.
He has.
Where was I going? There we go. Receiving stats for the Steelers. Antonio Brown, 9 grabs for 82 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, 7 grabs for 88 yards on a touchdown. Nobody else really worth mentioning. Oakland Raiders, Rod Streeter, 4 grabs for 45 yards. Denarius Moore, 2 grabs for 32 yards. And that's basically it. Not exactly a snooze fest, but, you know, not as good as it should have been.
Not if you're a Steelers fan, anyway.
This is true. Heading on over to Denver. Denver beats out Washington 45-21. Let's see. Passing stats. RG3, 15 of 30 for 132 yards, a touchdown and two picks. Kirk Cousins came in for a little bit. Five of 9 for 48 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's fantastic. 2 of your incompletions were interceptions. Good job. Peyton Manning. What can you say? I mean, 30 of 44, 354 yards, 4 touchdowns. What was not Peyton Manning like was his 3 interceptions, which apparently him and Eli did a little switch last week.
Right.
As far as the deceptions were concerned.
Well, they're just psyching themselves up for Thanksgiving.
I guess.
Yeah.
Heading on over to the rushing stats. Alfred Morris, 17 rushes for 93 yards and a touchdown. Nobody else worth mentioning. Denver Broncos, no Sean Moreno, 14 rushes for 44 yards. Monty Ball, 11 rushes for 37 and a touchdown. Obviously, when you have receiving stats like that, passing stats like that.
No one's running the ball.
Nobody's running the ball. Receiving stats, the newest tight end on the Tattoos and Touchdowns League for the Flying Teabags, Jordan Reed, 8 grabs for 90 yards. He is now my primary.
Your primary teabag?
He's my primary teabag right now. Pierre Garçon, 7 grabs for 46 yards. Leonard Hankerson, 1 grab, 7 yards, 1 touchdown.
He's no Fozzie Whitaker, I can tell you that.
Who is, honestly?
Yeah.
When you think about it. Heading on over to the Broncos. Again, Peyton Manning doing what he does. Demaryius Thomas, 7 grabs, 75 yards, a touchdown. Noshon Moreno, 6 grabs, 89 yards, a touchdown. Wes Welker, who I said was going to have a big day because Derek Decker had the big day the week before, 6 grabs, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Eric Decker, 4 grabs for 42 yards. Julius Thomas, 3 grabs for 29 yards. Joel Dressen, 2 grabs for 9 yards and a touchdown. Again, Peyton Manning just spreading that ball all over as he always does. Going on over to Arizona. Arizona beats out Atlanta 27-13. I thought Atlanta was better than this. Arizona's really not that great a team.
They're subpar right now, and I think because they're injury prone, their receivers are injury prone, and they haven't had Steven Jackson to carry that load either.
Right.
Regularly anyway. So I think Matty Ice is...
And he's been subpar when he has played.
Right, and Matty Ice is... his weapons have been diminished, except for Tony Gonzalez, who apparently... I know nobody likes him here, but...
I have no issue with him.
Let's not say that for Chris. Don't tell Chris that anymore, but... No, all joking aside, his resurgence is the only, you know, positive thing right now for the dirty Birds, you know?
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Falcons have lost a couple of receivers with... Roddy White
being hurt, Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is the other one.
Yeah, I mean they're decimated with injuries right now, you know.
Well, it can't be all that bad as far as the receiving goes because Matt Ryan, 34 of 61, 301 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, 61 attempts. That's the most I've seen by any quarterback in a while.
Yeah, but only 13 points on the board though.
But, Mom,
you could throw for 1,000 yards if you don't get any touchdowns, it ain't worth it, you know?
I understand that. I completely... Well, unless you're the Giants and you kick 74 field goals.
Well, yeah.
Carson Palmer, 13 of 18, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. The rushing stats, Matt Ryan, leading rusher, 1 attempt, 13 yards. Jaquiz Rogers, 2 rushes for 8 yards. Steven Jackson, 11 rushes, 6 yards.
Yeah, that offensive line, too, is not... You know, they're not good.
Right.
They should be better, you know?
Absolutely. Now we're going to go over to the Cardinals rushing stats. Now, I'm going to go touch on this real quick. A couple weeks ago at work, somebody had offered you a trade in another fantasy football league for Andre Ellington. You wound up getting Andre Ellington out of the deal.
Yes.
Some of your friends told you were out of your mind. I told you I liked the trade and I would pull the trigger on it. Andre Ellington last week, 15 rushes, 154 yards, and a touchdown. Andre Ellington hasn't really done much up to this season, but I think he found his groove. I don't think he's going to run for 154 yards every game, obviously.
Well, the whole theme of this show so far has been identity crisis, and I think Arizona finally has figured that out. I think Carson Palmer is their quarterback. I think Ellington's going to be their guy. They don't have anything else right now.
No, not really. You know? I mean, they got some decent receivers. I mean, they got Larry Fitzgerald, who's always a good receiver. Michael Floyd, who's going to be up and coming.
Yeah.
You know. Carson Palmer is their quarterback for now. He's old. They need to do something to kind of...
He's got another season or two left. I think they can... If they get another receiver or maybe a tight end for the option, they're not a bad team.
Now, what about this? Because everybody's talking about Hakeem Nicks of the Giants. They were allegedly trying to trade him. They didn't. Believe he becomes a free agent at the end of this season. If he becomes a free agent at the end of this season, is he a good fit in Arizona's offense?
He is, but I would address the coaching situation first in New York before I would do that. If the next coach comes in and finds a place for Nicks.
You know, Nicks has a place. His problem is he's just so injury prone.
Well, again, I think a system needs to be implemented there. I think that system is old. Guys aren't guys who are hurt should be guys play hurt all the time. I think Nicks is good where he is. I just think he'd be perfect in Arizona. I think he should stay in New York though.
All right, we'll see what happens. Heading on over to the receiving stats. Harry Douglas for the Falcons, 12 grabs, 121 yards. Drew Davis, 5 grabs for 77 yards on a touchdown. What was that?
I got him off waivers too.
Nice, good for you. Receiving stats for the Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald, 4 grabs, 48 yards and a touchdown. Michael Floyd, 3 grabs, 30 yards and a touchdown. Teddy Williams, 1 grab for 51 yards. I don't even know who the hell Teddy Williams is.
Exactly.
Never heard of the guy. Until this very moment. Heading on over to the Sunday night game.
Ugh.
Phil, your Miami Vikings drop one to the Green Bay Packers. Joe?
A bunch of fags.
44. In Minnesota, not Miami.
Oh, no, no.
44-13. All right. Aaron Rodgers, 24 of 29, 285 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pretty average day for him. Christian Ponder, 14 of 21, 145 yards. Nothing really to speak of. He's obviously your best option right now.
Again, identity crisis. Outside of Adrian Peterson, this team has no identity crisis. It has no identity. They have no quarterback. They have no secondary. They have a beat-up defensive line. And you can't win like that. You can't come back from a big deficit with that. Like the Vikings made a game of it.
Right.
But it wasn't until the fourth quarter putting up 14 points.
Right.
You can't do that. Christian Ponder's your best option. You should have kept him your best option. I know he got hurt. You had guys in place.
Right.
Why'd you spend $3 million on Josh Freeman? He's terrible. Terrible.
I don't know.
But, again, this whole show has been about identity crisis. These teams need to establish an identity for them to win significant games in the National Football League. Oh. It's just a...
Once you get to week 8, you can truly identify who's having a true identity crisis.
This is the crucial week for them, for any team.
Rushing stats for the Packers: Eddie Lacy, 29 of 94 and a touchdown. James Starks, 7 rushes for 57 yards and a touchdown. Minnesota Vikings: Adrian Peterson rushed the ball 13 times for 60 yards and a touchdown, finally starting to come back. Christian Ponder, 5 rushes for 38 yards and a touchdown. Toby Gerhart, 1 rush for 13 yards and a touchdown. Receiving stats for the Pack: Jordy Nelson, 7 grabs, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jarrett Boykin, 5 grabs for 89 yards. That's pretty much it. Eddie Lacy grabbed the ball 4 times for 18 yards. Looking at the Vikings: Kyle Rudolph, 4 grabs, 51 yards. Cordell Patterson, 2 grabs for 26 yards. AP, 3 grabs for 23 yards. Not very impressive numbers.
No, and getting back to the Packers real quick, as much as I despise him personally, Eddie Lacy is having a great year, quietly.
He's finally starting to come around, yeah.
Yeah, and not that Aaron Rodgers needs that all the time, but in games like that, he needs it. He needs a guy to carry the load a couple of times and just, establish that running game a bit.
All right.
So he's having a really good game, a really good season for them, I should say.
Heading on over to the Monday night game. Again.
Snooze fest.
Yeah. Not as bad as a Giant game, but
a lot of defense this week.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks beat out the St. Louis Rams 14-9. Not a big shocker that the Seahawks won, but you would expect them against the St. Louis offense to really do much better than that.
With no quarterback either.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Russell Wilson, 10 completions for 18 yards, 10 completions, 18 attempts, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kellen Clemens, 15 of 31, 158 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Rushing stats: Marshawn Lynch, non-existent, 8 rushes for 23 yards. Russell Wilson rushed the ball 3 times for 16 yards. Heading on over to the Rams, Zach Stacy, wow, 26 rushes, 134 yards. He almost had as many yards rushing as Kellen Clemens had passing. Darrell Richardson, 8 rushes for 39 yards, pretty much non-existent as he's been all season. To the receiving stats: Golden Tate had himself a pretty good day. 5 grabs, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nobody else really did anything worth talking about. Heading on over to the Rams, Chris Givens was your leading receiver, 4 grabs for 59 yards. Austin Pettis, 2 grabs for 33 yards. He's been non-existent for most of the season. Jared Cook, who is just a recent addition to the Flying Teabags, 3 grabs for 31 yards. Really, not much to really talk about. It's just abysmal, really.
Yep.
Let's head over to the Thursday night game, which I just got here. Miami edges out Cincinnati 22-20. Miami is not supposed... Again, we spoke about this earlier. Miami wasn't really supposed to be that good. They were supposed to be good, but not good enough to beat a team like the Bengals.
You saw it last year, though, and we talked about it briefly at the beginning of the show.
Right.
That defense is coming along.
It certainly is, as proven by the fact that Andy Dalton was 32 of 53, 338 yards, no touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. That's not Andy Dalton like the three interceptions.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill, 20 of 28, 208 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Rushing stats: Giovanni Bernard, 9 rushes for 79 yards, 2 touchdowns. The law firm, 21 rushes for 72 yards. The guy averages like a yard a rush. It's getting old. Dolphins: Lamar Miller, 16 rushes for 105 yards. Ryan Tannehill had a rush for a yard and a touchdown. Receiving stats: Cincinnati Bengals, A.J. Green, 11 rushes, 128 yards. Mohamed Sanu, 6 grabs for 62 yards. Marvin Jones, 4 grabs for 66 yards. That's pretty much it. Giovanni Bernard, 4 grabs for 25 yards. Miami Dolphins, Mike Wallace, 6 grabs, 82 yards. Brian Hartline was the next leading receiver, 3 grabs for 39 yards. I mean, just another, I don't want to say it's a snooze fest, but it was obviously it's a very close game, but nothing really exciting going on.
No, this was outside of the Detroit game, very dull week in football.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, Sully, in the chat room, by the way.
Sully, how are you, sir?
Sully's up next, right?
He is. He's all right behind us.
Sully will be live today.
Yay!
Sully was not live last week, correct?
No, he was not live. He took a hiatus in the anus, and he's okay now.
I think he had a bad case of Mexican floppaginitis.
Wow, they have that where he lives?
Apparently they do. He's in Connecticut. He's not far.
Don't drink the water.
Ooh. So, with all that being said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start reviewing the Week 9 games for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back after this.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in. And his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
Now you know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast? Not fast.
I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard. Kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe.
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Hey, man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were going to say that, and I was going to ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Damn it, can a guy masturbate in this house?
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have my vitamins, chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM,
It's not XM. It's More Like Radio.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
And we are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM. It's not XM.
It's more like radio.
All right, so we reviewed all the last week's games. We reviewed the Thursday night game. Now it is time to preview this week's games. Philip, take us there.
All right, so let's go to your 1 o'clock games. The Atlanta Falcons are at the Carroll.
Joe?
I'm here.
Pros versus Joe game. Pay attention.
I'm ready.
Oh, pros versus Joe game, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, Phil, you're gonna be our guest picker. Chris has already emailed me the picks
this
for
is
him.
A pro Joseph Bosa.
What?
Joe. I left my tongue in my other
mumbling,
pants.
Mumbling, stuttering prick.
Yeah.
Wow. You probably left your tongue in the back pocket of his other pants.
So the Dirty Birds, the Dirty Birds are going to Carolina to face the Panthers. 1 o'clock. Line is 7.5. And this is a pros versus Joe game?
It certainly is. All right, so.
Well, if you want me to pick, it's the Panthers all the way.
Really?
That's right. I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm going my opposite barometer thing. The team that should win is not going to win. And it's just going to be upset. This is going to be upset week. Every game this week is going to be an upset. You
get flashbacks to the other show. I'm going to take the Dirty Birds, but they're not going to cover.
Oh.
They've just been playing like crap lately.
What's the spread in this game?
7.5.
7.5?
I see him by a field goal.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to pick with the guys. I'm picking the Panthers in this one also. They've been playing really well lately.
Yeah.
And Miami's been pretty much awful.
Atlanta, you mean?
Atlanta.
You got the Dolphins on the mind today.
I know.
You called two different teams the Miami Dolphins.
Did I?
You did.
Wow.
You all right?
Nah, I got some shit on my mind, but whatever.
All right. All right, so moving over to the next game. I can't.
Now you picked Atlanta, right?
Straight up one of
you picked Atlanta.
I picked Atlanta, yeah. But they weren't going to cover.
Right.
All right. Your next game, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Dallas to take on the resurgent Cowboys. That's a 9.5 spread. I don't bet against the Vikings. I never do. Because I don't.
Because you're Purple Jesus.
Because I'm Purple Jesus.
That's right.
They probably won't win the game. But I say Minnesota wins. I know. You're laughing at me. But this is the game that if they don't win this game, they lose the identity for the rest of the season. So they have to win this game where Dallas... came off that disappointing loss last week. They're looking to get back at home against a struggling Minnesota Vikings defense.
You can't bet against Dallas right now.
It's a good bet because it's upset week.
All right. Well,
Joe's predicting upset week. I'm predicting the only person that's going to be upset this week is going to be Phil.
It's going to be me. Yeah.
I think the Cowboys win this one easily. Minnesota's defense, that's the biggest problem. That and their quarterback. Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, Miles Austin, Jason Witten.
Again,
they can easily have a field day against that defense.
They can against that defense, which has been Swiss cheese. I understand that. I just think that if it's either crap or get off the pot for Minnesota this week. You know, this is the week to make it or break it. If they don't do anything significant this week, then they can write the season off and pretend that they have a coach next year. And that's pretty much it.
They need a coach and a quarterback next
year.
They absolutely do.
All right, so the Saints are coming to the Meadowlands today. And they're facing the New York Jets, the resurging New York Jets. Jets took a bad loss. 6.5 points they're giving the Jets.
Saints offense is good. Saints offense could do some amazing things. Their defense has gotten better this season than they were last season under Rob Ryan.
Rob Ryan. Brother against brother today.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I was reading this stat last week, Rex Ryan I think it was something obscene, like 80% of the time winds up beating Rob Ryan. I don't think today that's going to hold up.
No, I think the Saints are going to win
as well. I think the
Saints
win this one easily.
Yeah, you know, and not to rain on the Jets parade at all, but a lot of Jet fans, 9-7, 10-6. Their schedule is just going to get progressively tougher. And you have to win games. Games like that, you have to win. Games like last week, you should have won, or at least be close. You got destroyed.
I'm not going to say they should have won. They should have played much better, though. It should have been a closer game than it
was. Yeah, that's a fair assessment. But anyway.
Yeah, the schedule is going to get tougher for them. I don't see 9-7. I mean, if they really wake up and start playing better, 9-7 is a possibility. But, again, they don't really have the offensive weapons to be 9-7 just yet.
All right, so moving on to St. Louis, where the Michael's Tennessee Titans visit the Rams. Getting 3 points. I can see Tennessee pulling this out.
Yeah, I can see Tennessee pulling
Rams
out.
Rams have no quarterback. Rams have no momentum at this point. Jeff Fisher's having a hard time holding on to this team.
Which is surprising.
Which is surprising because he's a really good coach. So he gets to face his old team,
right?
Which is fun. I like the Titans to pull this one out.
Yeah, I think the Titans are pulling this one out, too. I don't think it's really going to be much of a contest.
And we talked about Kansas City briefly before, and they are going to upstate to Buffalo to take on the Bills, and 3.5 is the spread.
Really?
Yeah, 3.5. I think because Buffalo plays really well at home.
They do, but you're going up against the best defense in the NFL. You're going up against one of the more prolific offenses in the NFL right now. I see Kansas City winning this one big.
Me too. All right. Rounding out the 1 o'clock games, this is a pick 'em, actually. There's no spread on this. San Diego travels to our nation's capital to take on the Redskins. I like San Diego this year. Phillip Rivers is the most efficient quarterback in the NFL as of last week. I didn't check the stats this week. I honestly think that they've gotten better in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And Washington's been on a decline, even though, I mean, their running game has been off.
Washington's been sporadic. Very streaky.
Yeah,
and that's
sporadic.
As RG3 goes, so do the Vikings. The Redskins.
Right. Same thing. Same thing with Peterson. Same thing. I like San Diego. And I just like San Diego.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to pick Washington on this one.
Okay.
I think they had their feelings hurt last week, and they want to step it up a little bit this week. So I think they're going to – I mean, again, it's a pick 'em. I'm going Washington.
All right. And that wraps up your 1 o'clock games, Eastern Standard Time.
All right, Joe, you got to start paying attention because we got a couple
couple
of games coming up that are going to be pros versus Joe.
I'm ready.
All right. So your first 4 o'clock game, Tampa Bay travels to Seattle.
This is a pros versus Joe game.
Okay.
Take on the Seahawks. 15.5 is your spread.
Okay. 15.5 is
15.5. You're playing.
Do I get the spread?
No, you don't pick with the spread.
You don't pick with the spread. I'm just
Joe, we've been doing this for 9 weeks now.
I know.
I'm just giving the spread out for our listeners.
I thought maybe you'd give me a little exception because I'm doing so bad.
Well, when I'm not in church, I have to. We have to call our bookie.
Okay.
Or I text
bookie,
my bookie.
Bookie,
B-O-O-K-I-E. That's right. And I book him from the church. I text him. I'm like, listen, I need my, when I listen to TNT, I have to.
So Seattle is favored?
Seattle has the best home.
Seattle is favored by 15.5, you said, right?
Yeah, 15.5.
I go Seattle.
All right.
Chris and Joe. Chris picked Seattle in this one also.
I'm taking the Seahawks also.
They drink a lot of coffee in Seattle, so.
And they get a lot of
Starbucks.
Yeah, it helps them, You get that jitter. That jitter is just enough to get off the line a little faster. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm getting flashbacks.
I'm also picking the Seahawks. This should be a very easy win for them.
All right. Your next game is a division rival. Baltimore's going to Cleveland to take on the Browns in the dog pound.
Pros versus Joe game.
Ooh, okay. Two in a row.
All right. They're giving Cleveland 2.
Well, it's a pretty close game there. 2 points to anybody.
Well, it's a division rival, and they're both terrible this year. Very disappointing.
So it's like, who's
going to
lose the biggest?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. I'm taking Cleveland.
You guys think it's going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game?
It might be like a 24-17 or 17-14, like that kind of game.
So it's under 50, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 41.5 is the total that they're giving them.
In the words of W.C. Fields, all things considered, I'd rather be in Cleveland.
I'd rather be in Cleveland.
So we'll take Cleveland.
I'm taking the dogs also. Again, I think I love Jordan Cameron. I think he's a stud. And, Baltimore has been so disappointing this year.
Yeah, they have been disappointing. Although Cleveland has Jason Campbell as their quarterback, I think he's going to come crashing back down to earth. I'm picking the Ravens in this one. I think they're a better team overall.
Okay. All right. The next game should be an interesting game if both teams decide they want to play. Pittsburgh is traveling to New England to take on the Patriots.
Wow.
Now, this is an interesting game. 6.5 is a spread. Now, I don't know. Again, with the way New England played last week, we spoke about this in the beginning of the show. Pittsburgh has a rare opportunity to take advantage if those guys that Brady has in his lineup don't show up to play. They do. They're one team that could take advantage of the mishaps that New England had. Even though they won the game, it's just they didn't play very well until...
Part of the problem is, though, the Steelers' defense is a shell of what it used to be.
Absolutely.
So that's going to pose a problem. Tom Brady has had a couple of bad weeks strung together. He has had 2 weeks this season where he has not scored a touchdown, one of them against the Jets, which I'm sure he's the most embarrassed about.
Oh, absolutely. While he was shopping for real estate here.
Right. So, I'm going with the Patriots to win this game.
As am I. I don't think they're going to cover, though.
What's the spread again?
6.5. I see him by a field goal. I don't see it being very big. I don't.
I'm gonna say the Patriots do cover. They win by a touchdown.
All right. And that's your 4 o'clock games.
Well, all right.
There you go.
Your 8:30 game is another interesting game. Indianapolis travels to Houston to take on a division rival.
Pros versus Joe game.
Ooh.
Joe, you like the Colts or do you like the Houston Texans?
Well, you know, the Colts used to be Dallas, you know. They used to be
Baltimore, actually.
Weren't they Dallas?
No, Dallas were always the Cowboys.
Always the Cowboys.
Yeah, Baltimore used to be the Colts.
They were never from Texas?
No, they were not. There are Colts in Texas, though. They have nice...
They do?
Well, they raise them. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Well, there you go. There's a good reason right there.
Jesus.
Okay, I'll take the Colts. I think the Colts are going to...
Wait a second. Anybody who has listened to this show,
yes,
and listened to Joe make his picks,
yes,
Joe has had two things consistent.
Yes, always wrong.
All right, three things.
Okay.
The Packers are a bunch of fags.
Yes, they are.
True.
And he always bets with the Texas team.
I know.
Oh, he always bets.
Always. You know
he
why?
He is going against he's going against the grain right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go against the grain as well.
I'm scared.
I'm taking Indianapolis.
Uh-oh.
The spread is 2.
Yeah, it's essentially a pick 'em game.
Yeah. You know what? I don't like Houston this year.
Their defense has been nothing but disappointing.
Right.
Their offense has been non-existent. It's an easy pick to go with the Colts.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
All right, and then your Monday night game I can care less about. But for all you fans out there, this is the Chicago Bears going to Green Bay.
Did we miss a game?
No.
Did we talk about the Eagles versus the Raiders?
Did I skip one?
I don't remember talking about that.
You know what? I skipped. I apologize.
Yeah. Let's go back to that one because that's a Pros versus Joe game.
I'm sorry. Phillies at Oakland, 2.5.
Phillies at Oakland.
I'm taking Philly.
You know what? Chris is picking Oakland, and with the way Oakland's been playing lately.
I scroll up. I'm sorry. I missed a few. I scrolled up, and I missed two games. I'm sorry.
God damn it. This is why we'll never have nice things.
I know.
I got to go with Chris on this one. I think the Raiders are going to pull this one out. With the way they've been playing lately, it's kind of hard not to go with them.
I kind of agree because Oakland is very famous for having oatmeal for breakfast. And just the idea of having oatmeal in the morning cleanses your system. So they're all in really good shape today, so I'm going to have to go with oatmeal. Oakland.
So you're going to go with Oakland because they're all going to have a good BM before the game.
Yeah, they're going to get a little crap out really good this morning.
And they won a big game last week.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. All right.
How'd that happen?
I have no idea, but I'm taking Philadelphia still.
You're taking Philadelphia? Yeah. I think you're prejudiced.
I am.
Yeah. I think that's a racial statement.
Meanwhile, I have two boxes of oatmeal in my locker right now, so
I'll
have some good bowel movements this week.
Wow. That's a lot more than I wanted to know.
Right.
And just so you know, because Joe did ask before.
I did.
As far as the standings are in pros versus Joe,
how am I doing?
I am still king dingling at 26-14.
Wow.
Chris is right up there with me at 25-15. Joe.
Joe's 500.
You are 500 at 20 and 20.
That's not bad.
Not at all.
So he's only half right.
Not at all.
Well, you know, yeah.
Which part of Joe is the good one?
Yeah, even a clock is right twice a day. A broken clock.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So you can check out the Pros versus Joe's pick on the Facebook page. It's pinned right to the top. Check out how we're doing. We even throw Phil's picks in there.
And if you put a bet down for me, I would appreciate it.
And Chicago is at Green Bay. 10.5 is just spread. I don't like that spread. It's going to be a close game, I think.
I don't know about that because the Bears are not playing with the regular quarterback. I mean,
all right. Well, they lost Jay Cutler for the year. Who's their backup now? That's not Sexy Rex, is it?
Who is their backup? I don't remember. I do not remember at all.
Let's see.
Let's take a quick look at that.
Yeah.
Any which way, I think the Packers win this one pretty easily.
What?
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Bunch of bastards.
I love it.
Joe just took a swing at me and I ducked, thank God.
Can't have that.
I don't think the Bears are going to struggle now offensively. The defense has been a little off all season. I think the Packers win this one pretty easily.
Bears are going to eat cheese today.
Ooh.
Eat cheese.
So the Bears will be having good BMs, too.
It's great. Well, cheese is constipating, isn't it?
Not for me, it isn't.
I know.
No, ain't nothing. Josh McCown is their backup.
Josh McCown, there you go.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna take the Bears. I'm taking the Bears for the upset, yeah.
There you go. What
hashtag
upset.
Delusional.
This is upset Friday here. Well,
it's upset Sunday,
Friday.
Joe. He can't even get his days
Sunday.
Right.
I don't know. You know, when you retire, you lose all track of...
yeah, allegedly.
Where am I?
He just waits for the doorbell to ring. Oh, shit, I'm doing a show tonight.
Is that the mailman?
That's true. It's true.
And your bye weeks are Arizona, Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, the Giants, and the 49ers. Those are your teams on bye this week.
Well, thank God for the Jacksonville and the Giants. Neither team will lose this week, so there's a positive thing.
Okay.
All right, so what other games did we miss?
That's it.
All right, so let's go on to the Monday night game.
Which is Green Bay and Chicago.
Oh, it was Green Bay and Chicago. I'm sorry.
That was it.
Oh, all right. Well, fine. Be that way.
I only missed one game because I scrolled up.
Silly.
Philly.
All right, so... we are going to go to a quick break right now. Breaks. When we come back, we're going to do some fantasy stardom and sit 'em. And might have a few minutes left. We'll do a little chat. Just
all right.
Fill myself and Joe. Yeah. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back after this.
Steve, do you think you could say this line here? This line here.
OSW Review, an old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap you and kill you.
Just emphasize won't, so it makes it sound like our competition will kill you.
OSW Review, an old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap and kill you.
And you're listening to More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the
the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I would rather go 1 mile down the road than inconvenience men behind me.
Mm-hmm. In my mouth, with my tongue, and testicles.
Oh. The official statement is fag!
Zach, as far as your routine goes, how, you know, because do you ever, like, do, like, with...
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Ooh, I like this song.
Rest in peace, JMJ.
Jam Master J, he's listening to a little Run DMC, Down with the King, Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com.
I'm dancing.
I think Joe's about to throw out his hip.
That's awesome.
Phil, dial 911.
Please.
Hey, you guys are medics. You guys can take care
We're
of me.
We're off duty.
Yeah, but I can't lay you down in the back of my car.
Well,
if you throw out
your
hip,
you need
to lay
down. Your friends are, I tell you.
Phil, stop unzipping your pants. I'm not going to let you teabag Joe.
Oh.
I have button fly on.
All right.
Anyway.
Jesus. It's amazing how fast we can get off track, isn't it?
I'm telling you. Let's see when I'm here.
It's my fault.
All right. So, what did I... Well, I'm missing something here.
Are you?
Yeah. For some reason...
this is your fantasy segment.
Yeah, we're in the fantasy segment, but it didn't come up when I tried pulling it up. Hold on a second here. Let's do this. I hate when things don't go right. All right. Well, as always, we're going to start off talking about a little stardom and sit 'em here for fantasy football. Phil, why don't you get us started? We always start off with the quarterback position. Who, might I ask, would be your start of the week?
Oh, my start of the week would have to be Drew Brees against the Jets.
Drew Brees against the Jets? I could, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I already started Andy Dalton in my other league, so I didn't get much with him except for 12 yards and 338 yards. You know.
Well.
He rushed for 12. He threw for 338.
Those three picks killed you.
The three picks definitely killed me. Again, you know, you could start. Jacksonville wasn't playing this week, so you can't. You know what I'm saying? So, let's see. I'm sounding biased, I guess, when I do that, but you could actually. Jake Locker could be a start against the Rams. I think he's going to do good against the Rams.
You're delusional. Just pick one.
No. Then you know what? If I had to pick one.
Your start of the week. Who is your guy that you're gonna guarantee he's gonna have a good game?
So.
Do you want me to give you a second?
No. You know what? Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's going to have a good game against Houston.
Yeah, that's...
Not sounding biased because I'm starting Drew Brees. Okay.
Right,
so, all right.
So. You're not going to like me for saying this, but I got to pick Tony Romo against the Vikings.
I can't.
He's got a lot better weapons, and the Vikings defense is just porous, man. I mean, it's pretty...
This Swiss cheese, on paper, he always has a good team.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he'll fall apart next month around Christmas time.
This is true. Extremely true.
Sorry, Cowboy fans. No disrespect, but...
Who's your sleeper? Who's your sleeper for the quarterback position this week?
My sleeper is going to be... Carolina.
Carolina quarterback?
Yep.
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton against the Falcons. Although I picked the Falcons to win, I think, in your pros versus Joe segment.
Did you pick the Falcons?
He could have a big game.
Yeah. It's very possible.
Atlanta's been subpar, so.
Right. All right. I don't know if you really want to call him a sleeper or not, but that's I'm going to qualify him as such. Terrell Pryor against the Eagles.
Yeah, that too. Just because of what's been going on with them lately.
Yeah. Eagles are not looking very good lately. The defense was decent against the Giants, but again, Giants offense is pretty weak lately. Not allowing a single touchdown. I think Terrell Pryor is going to have more success than the Giants did last week.
Of course, I have to do this segment when Peyton Manning's not playing, but
right.
Cuz of course you pick Peyton Manning every week now at this point. He's going to have a great game. Of course he is.
Yeah. It's like clockwork.
Exactly.
Who are you sitting down this week?
Well, I benched a few guys this week. I benched Roddy White because he's...
We're talking about quarterbacks.
Oh, quarterbacks. I'm sorry.
Are you paying attention?
I'm sorry.
That's why we'll never have nice things.
I'm going to bench... Let's see. I would bench Peyton Manning because you don't know what he's going to do against Pittsburgh.
You would bench Peyton Manning?
Tom Brady. I'm sorry. You got Miami on a brain. I got Peyton Manning on a brain. I would definitely bench Tom Brady.
Going to bench Tom Brady against Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And I'm going to go to the opposite side of this game, and I'm going to bench Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's really going to do much against the Patriots defense. Even though the Patriots defense is really not that great, I don't know. I'm just not comfortable with the Steelers offense at this point.
Yeah.
They've looked kind of shaky all season. Heading on over to the running back position. Who's your start of the week for running backs, Phillip?
My start has been Danny Woodhead against the Skins. Everybody's going to start Peterson, obviously. But since a lot of the other guys are on a bye, all the Denver guys and Ellington, and Danny Woodhead's been my guy.
So you're starting Danny Woodhead this week?
Yep. Yep.
All right.
I would bench Steve. I have.
Well,
to...
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Listen to me before I smack your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Right. I'm going to start DeMarco Murray against the Vikings. One thing that usually winds up happening is it was really kind of inadvertent, and it still is. I'm not intentionally doing it, but my stardom system usually has a theme. And this week, I got to go with anybody on Dallas against the Minnesota defense, just because the Minnesota defense is es no bueno.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and DeMarco Murray, good running back, has a chance to do some big things against the Minnesota defense. Who's your sleeper for the week in the running back position?
Mike Davis for Tampa Bay.
Really?
Yep. Yep. I think Mike Davis is going to have a good game.
Against the Atlanta defense.
Seattle.
Tampa's in Seattle. I'm sorry.
Tampa's playing Seattle.
Sorry, I got my games confused. I guess anything's possible. I'm going to go for Stavon Ridley against the Steelers.
I hope so, because I have him in my second team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to have himself a good day. Again, Steelers defense, not nearly what it used to be. They're not yielding many 100-yard rushers, but Stavon Ridley, I think, has the potential to at least come close to that 100-yard plateau against the Steelers. Who are you sitting down?
Sitting down Chris Ivory. And I'm sitting down. Who else am I sitting down? Well, everybody else is on buys. No. But if I had to somebody this week as a running back, I would probably sit. Let's see.
I'll tell you right now, I'm going to sit down Trent Richardson against the Texans. Trent Richardson has been awful, especially since coming over to Indianapolis. Very unproductive at this point. If you have him on your team and you have no other option, go for it. But I think you have to shut him down against Houston's defense, which is really not that good. But he hasn't done anything against a bad defense or a good defense, for that matter.
You know, I would bench Richardson.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So we agree on the sit.
Yep.
Heading on over to the wide receiver position. Start of the week. Again, Dez Bryant against Miami. Minnesota, excuse me. Dez Bryant against Minnesota. I think it's a pretty easy pick.
Yeah.
Who are you starting this week?
On my teams, I am starting. I love Harry Douglas against Carolina. I think Atlanta's in. I would definitely start Harry Douglas, and I would definitely start, if I did have him, I would start anybody on Dallas against Minnesota, even though I don't want that to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think Dez Bryant's easily...
if he keeps his mouth shut.
We'll get into that
at the end of the show.
But who's your sleeper for the week?
Torrey Smith.
Really?
Baltimore. Yep.
All right.
I had him high on my draft this year, and I thought...
Based on what he did last year.
Absolutely. Based on the rules of and the points of my draft. Thank you for helping me with that, by the way. I got him really fairly early, and I thought he was going to pay dividends, but Baltimore's been so lackluster.
Right.
If Torrey Smith's going to break out, it's going to be against Cleveland this week. So.
All right. I'm going to pick Pierre Garçon against the Chargers as a sleeper.
I love saying his name. Garçon.
Garçon. Pierre Garçon, he's a good receiver. He's got himself RG3 throwing him the ball. Granted, RG3 does like to run the ball a lot, but he's been doing it a lot less because he is still recovering from that surgically repaired knee. Pierre Garçon, I'm thinking probably about 75 yards on touchdown this week.
That's very doable.
Who are you sitting down this week?
Anybody in New England?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were having a moment Amendola, of silence for the Packers then or something.
Gronkowski, I'd sit them all. If you have a second option, I'd sit them all.
I don't know if you sit Gronkowski.
If you have a second option, you sit them all.
All right.
I mean, because you don't know what kind of team you're getting with Pittsburgh.
Very true, which, I mean, I can agree with you. Definitely sit down Danny Amendola because the guy's fragile.
I just apologize to you listeners. I didn't prepare for this segment only because I don't do this until today.
Right.
So I don't do this until today because I have a partner who's on point with me. So my cousin Anthony, shout out to him, by the way.
So Danny Amendola is very fragile. He's probably the number one receiver for New England, which means he's going to have guys like Troy Polamalu constantly looking at him and watching him and heading over his direction, so he's probably going to wind up getting killed by Polamalu. If I had to pick a sit, while I agree with you, you know, you got to sit most of New England's wide receivers, I'm going to sit down Steve Johnson against the Kansas City Chiefs. Been extremely inconsistent. You know, he's only reached double-digit points in fantasy one time during the season. You gotta sit him down. I mean, if you have nobody else, throw him in as a flex. But other than that, garbage.
Basura.
Heading on over to the tight end position. Who are you starting?
Well, I have a two tight end set. So since I can't start Vernon Davis this week, start Jordan Cameron, Cleveland.
All right.
Against Baltimore.
I can see that because Jordan Cameron's probably going to pull a linebacker to cover him, and since the loss of Ray Lewis, their linebackers really aren't that great except for Terrell Suggs.
Yep.
All right. Again, I got two starts, all the same game. Starting Jason Witten again, Miami defense, Minnesota defense, just not good. But on the flip side, Kyle Rudolph against the Cowboys. He's going to be the safety blanket for Christian Ponder, and I think he's going to have to go to him a lot more than he wants to.
Yep.
All right, your sleeper.
My sleeper tight end?
Yeah.
Is Indy's tight end.
Colby Fleener?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to pick Jordan Reed against the San Diego Chargers, even though you really can't consider him much of a sleeper. Only because he's been playing so well this season. I'm not sold on the San Diego Chargers defense. I really think he's going to be able to do some damage.
Okay.
So, I know. Okay, I'm just checking my team as we're talking about this, and I did start him this week. Who are you sitting down this week?
For tight ends. I'm gonna sit. Well, who's got a good defense over there? I'm going to sit. I already said Gronkowski, right?
Well, yeah, you said you're going to sit everybody on the
way. Yeah, so I'm sitting Gronkowski at that point.
All right. I think you're crazy. I don't think you sit Gronkowski, but
if you have another option, obviously. But I'm just, if you don't, then you have to start him. But
I am going to sit Scott Chandler versus the Chiefs. I mean,
he's not even an option in Buffalo, is he?
He is. He's not a very
good option.
Good option.
Okay.
He's playing, but he's playing against the Chiefs defense, and the Chiefs defense is just too damn good. You just can't start him. It's,
right. Tampa's tight end. Who else has a good defense? Kansas City has decent defense. I mean, not Kansas. Tennessee. So I mean, you know. Anybody who has a really good defense and the other team doesn't have a good option as a tight end, you could sit them.
Yeah.
If you can. If you can't, then you might have to, if you have that flex spot. See, the flex spot helps me a lot this week.
Sure.
Because I have a two tight end spot that I use. So, like, I can't use, obviously, because San Fran's on a bye, I can't use Vernon Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up Ted Ginn from Carolina and threw him in my slot. He could be a sleeper also at the wide receiver spot against the Falcons. He could be.
A few years ago, I would have agreed. Right now, I think he's anything but average.
Yeah, he's slightly less than average, you know? If you look at the numbers. Again, it's something that you need to do when you're on a bye and have an option.
I actually got hit pretty hard with bye weeks this week.
Yeah, me too.
Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Vernon Davis, although I just traded him away.
Five out of my seven spots this week are on byes.
Yeah, I think I have four people on buys this week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going on over to the Fat Girls and Mopeds, the kickers.
Wow.
We don't do sleepers for kickers because they just don't deserve it.
Well, I needed a kicker, so we picked up Robbie Gould.
All right. So who would be your start of the week?
My start of the week, wow, actually, would be Cleveland's kicker.
Who's Cleveland's kicker?
I don't even know. Who cares? Who cares? Cleveland's kicker, San Diego's kicker. The pick'em games, man. Like, because you don't know. You know, it's
all right.
You don't know. Like Buffalo's kicker, you could start him too. You know.
All right. I am going to pick Steven Hauschka of the St. Louis Rams against the Buccaneers. I think he's going to be a busy man today. He's going to be kicking them from long. He's going to be kicking them from far. So I think he's going to pick up. Not only is he going to pick up points for field goals, but I think he's going to pick you up points for distance if you give bonuses for long field goals. He's going to have a couple 40-yarders.
I hope your league does.
You know,
it helps.
It definitely does help.
Those close weeks, anyway.
Who are you sitting down this week?
Oh, geez, you could sit. Yeah, you could sit Atlanta. You could sit the Jets kicker. You could sit. You could sit Minnesota's kicker. You could sit. There's a whole bunch of guys you could sit. This is one of those positions where it really doesn't. You're playing against a good team. You might want to reconsider your options.
You're not going to like hearing this, but I would have picked Robbie Gould as my sit.
Well, no, I have to start him, but...
No, I know, but like you said, you just picked him up.
Who's the kicker for Green Bay? Crosby, right?
Mason Crosby, yeah.
He's not going to get any action. He's just going to get the extra point. He's not going to...
Doesn't matter. I don't
mean,
think
they're giving
Robbie
Chicago 10.5, brother. I don't know if it's a...
I don't know. I don't think Robbie Gould is going to do much.
I need you and Chris to address something before the season ends, if I can get in 2 seconds. I need to know why every site outside of the Vegas odds have higher spreads. Like, why can't the medium be the Vegas odds? Like my wife plays a pool every week. Chris plays a pool every week. And the spreads are always different.
Right.
And then the newspapers are always different. And then the websites that you guys have are different. But they never go by the Vegas odds, and I never understood that.
But they do kind of go by the Vegas odds. But every, you know, like on this show, I can't handicap a game to save my life. I can't. Not going to happen. Chrissy, on the other hand, can handicap a game. He's got the mind for that.
Yeah, but Chris also goes... To the odds, though. I mean, and if he doesn't, he's close to it. That's the thing, though.
But that's just it. I mean, it, these other sites, they have their own handicappers, and they're going to base their odds. They're going to base their spread on the Vegas spread. But like we sit there and like you'll hear Chris and I say it a few times. The show most of the time, you know, there'll be a spread. Oh, you know, 27 points. No, 27 points is not. Not logical for me. You know, you'll hear Chris and I sit there and say, oh, I don't think the spread's going to be... I wouldn't give it a three-point spread at this game. I think it would be much higher for so-and-so, whatever the case may be. You know, I guess it all depends on the pool and who they're using. You know, they have people who want to handicap their own thing. So be it.
I don't know. It just people's limbs depend on it. You know, I just think it's more imperative that they follow the sure shot, but that's just me. Maybe I'm not a good. We're not as good as handicapper as Espo is. So,
well,
no. I mean, with nobody, and then he's like the second coming of Jimmy the Greek, you know. So,
without all the racist remarks,
without all the racism, yeah. Unracist Jimmy. We love you, Chris.
Let's head on over to the defenses and wrap this up, and then we'll just go into a little talk about Dez Bryant. Start of the week defense. Who you got?
Definitely New Orleans against the Jets.
Mm.
That's my start of the week.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I got to pick Kansas City against Buffalo. Thaddeus Lewis is going to be running for his life.
Best defense in the league.
Thaddeus Lewis is going to be running for his life. He's not going to know what's coming at him. All he's going to see is a sea of red. Who's your sleeper defense?
Minnesota. I'm not saying that because I'm a Vikings
fan.
What? I think Minnesota is going to do something this week. It's crap will get off the pot. They're not going to be magnificent. They're going to be like, they're going to like do something. They're going to rattle Tony Romo a little bit, I think. I know you're laughing at me, but that's my sleep. That's why they call it a sleeper for nothing, man. They don't call it a sleeper for nothing.
All right. Apparently, Phil was doing lines of coke before he came into the show.
If I did lines of coke, I would be up since 6 o'clock this morning. And don't judge me. That was college.
Well, I'd be with you, too. I'll tell you.
God, you know, you do one bad thing and give somebody an 8-ball, and all of a sudden you're suspect.
Nice. I got to pick the Colts against the Texans. Colts defense has been decent. They're going up against a fairly weak Houston offense with Jake Locker as the quarterback.
Jake Locker's Houston's quarterback?
Matt Schaub, excuse me.
Well, Matt Schaub's out for the year, isn't he?
Yeah, I forget who they got starting for.
Whoever's
now.
Playing for them, it doesn't matter.
I forget. It doesn't matter.
They're not good.
No.
They're not good. Arian Foster isn't good.
Arian Foster, Ben Tate, they've been doing garbage.
Yep.
Who are you sitting?
I'm sitting Cleveland. because for some reason I think Baltimore is going to do something. And I'm also going to sit, you know, if you had the Jets, you'd sit the Jets. And you could definitely sit Baltimore. I mean, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Against Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, if again, but this is the time of the year where if you didn't draft certain positions, people are scattering now to get that kicker or that defense or that flex receiver or tight end or running back. So you need to be careful about what you're doing in terms of doing that, because now that you're halfway through the season, a third of the league is on their bye week.
Right.
Has been on their bye week
right.
already. So you have to watch that and make sure you CYA, as they say.
Right.
And that's something that you and my uncle were very diligent about when we all did fantasy football together.
Right.
So
you picked him as a sleeper. I'm picking him as a sit.
Minnesota.
Honestly, you should be sitting him every week because the defense is just not good as Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Just they're going up against a really good team. Well, let me not say a really good team, but a very good team.
You're right. But there are fantasy football owners that, you know, didn't draft a secondary defense. And guess who's sitting up at the top of that list?
Minnesota, yeah.
And you have to go with them. So.
Es terrible.
Yeah, sí.
Well, that is the fantasy segment for the week. We still have about 10, 15 minutes left.
Call your bookies.
B-double-O-K-I-E.
Over here now.
Boogaloogaloo. Really quick, I just want to talk about this. John Fox.
Love John Fox.
Well, he was taken to the hospital. He had some sort of cardiac event, and
so he's out now for a little while.
He's going to be out for a few weeks. He's apparently has to undergo an aortic heart valve replacement next week. They're not saying how long it's going to sideline him, but he's 58 years old, taken to a hospital in Charlotte, so wasn't feeling well.
Thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely, thoughts and prayers.
Honestly,
classy guy. I like John Fox.
Me too, a former Giants coach. We love John Fox as a Giants coach.
Absolutely.
New York. Giants fans went gaga over him. Honestly, though, and I'm not saying this to be facetious, but Joe can coach them. And that's how good they are, man.
You know what? When you have Peyton Manning as your quarterback, Peyton, you don't need a head coach. Peyton Manning, you don't even need an offensive coordinator.
Peyton has the whole scheme on his arm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Peyton Manning can run that offense without a problem.
Joe can coach them, man.
Yeah. Because all Joe's got to do is sit there and go,
okay, guys, play.
Do something.
Right. That's right.
Colt. Out there and dance, boys.
Even though I thought you were from Dallas, you're a Colt.
Yeah, that's right.
Go out there and take care of business.
I can fix everything.
No pepper games, though, Joe, while you're playing. No pepper
games.
Games.
Oh. Absolutely not.
Okay.
All right?
I'll give them all a set of golf clubs.
That's
it.
Nice. Now, with John Fox being out, do you think it's really going to affect the Colts at all?
Not at all. It's just
so it's not going to affect the Colts like it affected the Saints last season when Sean Payton was
no,
out.
No, not at all. Because I think Payton had his coaching staff. Just that whole situation was terrible. We talked
right.
about that on other shows.
Right.
At this point, Denver's so self-sufficient where the Saints really weren't. They weren't as. I mean, they were good. They were really good. They were all running on all cylinders. Breeze broke that record, and just a different scenario. Plus, you know what? The bye week is going
to
help them a lot now. I think Denver,
absolutely, they're going to rest up.
They're going to rest up. All the guys who were like banged up a bit will not only rest up. Now the coaching staff has a chance now with the bye week to regroup and actually come through and get ready for the next game.
All right. Now you wanted to talk about Dez Bryant a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened last week with Dez Bryant?
There was some miscommunication from what I read and saw in terms of ball distribution. A couple of plays were missed. And then what you saw on the sideline was an exchange first between Jason Witten, the tight end, and Dez Bryant.
Right.
And you could see Jason Witten pointing to the scoreboard like, you know, and I'm not going to repeat what they said because I've been pretty good. I haven't sworn the whole show, which is good. I've been really diligent with that, actually. But no, all joking aside, they had an exchange, like a very heated exchange.
Right.
And Dez Bryant wasn't done. Like, he goes back to the bench and said something to Tony Romo, and now they have an exchange. Now
right.
coaches are involved, pulling people away.
Now, keep in mind, this is also the same guy smacked his mother last year.
Right.
Before the season started. So, I mean, he's obviously a little bit of a hothead.
A little bit that you hit your mom?
You know.
You know my mom. I would never, I mean, I would, as much as you want to punch her in the mouth, but you can't. It's your mom.
Your mother would choke you out, first off.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, again, all joking aside, that's an issue.
Right.
You do it in a locker room where there's no reporters. You pull a guy over in the shower in the stall over there on the side, or like on the team bus or in a hotel where it's you. It's not TV. It's not ESPN. It's none of that. You know, it's none of that.
Right.
It's terrible that you're embarrassing yourself on a sideline.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Why? Because you didn't get the ball X amount of times? Or even if your argument's valid, you don't do that. You don't make it an issue. You know what I'm saying? You pull your coaches aside. You pull your teammates aside. You do it behind closed doors. You don't do it on a sideline on national television.
Right.
In front of your fan base or in front of somebody else's fan base. You lost credibility with me last year. Now you lost more credibility with me this year.
I mean, as a fantasy owner, he's a guy I would love to have on my team. When he's a top-end receiver in the NFL, no question asked. Definitely a top-end receiver. He's watching Megatron go for 329 yards, and he doesn't even get 100 yards. But he finds the end zone a couple of times. Still a respectable day. You're not going to get 329 yards, not with Tony Romo. Tony Romo is pretty decent at spreading the ball around. And he likes to go to his tight end a lot more than anything else. You know, you got to kind of sit down and relax. You know, by yelling and screaming on the sideline, you're right. It's not going to help anything. And it does make yourself look silly. You know?
Even if you had a valid argument, nobody knows what you're saying except for them.
Right.
All the fans see, all we saw on television, is you yelling at your best receiver and your best quarterback.
Right.
For that day. That's all you saw. You didn't know what happened. You didn't know why he was angry. But you don't, you know, actions speak louder than words. That's the perfect example of that.
Right.
You know, and I learned that as a player also in two or three different sports, you know. You have a problem with a person, you pull them to the side, you tell them about it.
Right.
You know.
Real quick, Jonathan Martin of the Dolphins. Did you hear about this? He's placed on the non-football injury list. No physical injury. He basically just lost his mind. Apparently, in the Miami Dolphins cafeteria a few days ago, it's a locker room. It's a cafeteria. It's a team. You guys play pranks on each other, this and that. I mean, I know you personally, you're not a big prank guy.
I'm not.
All right?
I'm not. Because you, especially when it comes to people's food or property, that stuff bothers me, man. That you know. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the prank was that hasn't been released. But apparently, Rich Incognito was involved in this, and
oh boy,
who's also probably one of the dirtiest players in the NFL, arguably. Yeah, yeah. Blah 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 blah. But it was a group of people that were involved, and they played this prank on him, and he just lost his mind. Had an emotional breakdown, like legit emotional breakdown, flipping tables, this and that, whatever.
It happened to me.
You know. You didn't flip a table.
I didn't flip a table. I flipped a chair.
You know.
And I got mad, but no, you know, I didn't flip a table.
You know, this guy, I mean, he legitimately lost his mind. And, you know, he's
a lineman, right?
Yeah. He's had some time. He's had some time to calm down, think about the situation and things like that. And he told him flat out. He goes, listen, I don't hold any of my teammates responsible for this. This is something that happened to me. Apparently, it's been a long time coming kind of thing. He's had some issues. So there is always that. But, you know, hoping he works out whatever he's got going on and, you know, gets back to some sense of normalcy. Real quick, we're just past the halfway point of the season. Couple of quick questions. Who's the biggest disappointment this season in the NFL?
Houston. Houston's definitely been, you put them up there with the elite, you know, and if you're local, the New York Football Giants have been terrible. These teams were expected to compete. I picked the Giants to go to the Super Bowl this year, and they were just disappointments.
Right, right. I didn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl. I didn't think they were contend for the playoffs. You know, I thought they would be just out. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I agree the Houston Texans probably the biggest disappointment because they had so much. They started out 11-0 last year and then just completely tanked, and they haven't come back to be even close to respectable this season.
Right.
Pick your league MVP right now.
Wow.
Season ends right now. Who's your league MVP?
Got to be Petey Pie, man.
Yeah?
Got to be Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. That's pretty fair.
I mean, he's been lights out since the first day. 7 touchdowns and then kept it going.
Okay.
He's a machine. I think Steve Austin, they just took out, Oscar Goldman took parts out of Steve Austin and put him in Peyton Manning. He's bionic. He's bionic. He's the $95 million man.
Nice. Nice. Right now, Super Bowl winner.
Wow. Denver. I'm riding Denver. I'm riding Denver. Kansas City has been phenomenal also. I mean, you could take them too, but I think it's still too early, man.
It's the midway point of the season, man. There's not much more to go when you really look at it that way.
But if you look at the standings, who's outside of Denver and Kansas City, who's dominating?
Nobody.
Like, you have teams who have not even have 3 wins, and they're 2 games out of first place in some divisions.
Oh, that's the NFC least.
Well, yeah, and the NFC South. I mean, the NFC North, the black and blue division.
Right.
Well, your teams are subpar, and except for Green Bay, and then they're all close to each other in standings. So, yeah, I I'm riding a mile high, man.
All
right. Riding to mile high. They're fantastic. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs my wife loves the Chiefs, but we've been watching a lot of them, and just watching Denver, man, on all cylinders. Like, they just pick teams apart.
Right.
It's awesome. I love defense because I'm a defensive guy, but when you have a team that puts points up at will,
right,
it's lovely. We mentioned the Saints a few years ago. That team was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The greatest show on turf with the Rams a few years before that. When those teams are prolific and they could score points at will, it's fantastic. It's a good time if you're a football fan.
Absolutely. All right, so with all that being said, we're going to start wrapping things up. Phil, you got anything you want to plug while you're here?
Nah. I mean, if you guys are big wrestling fans, you can turn into the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with myself and Dave Powers. SWN.ShiningWizards.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boo, and now Geek Life Radio and the Rantham Radio. So go to all that. Chris and I do a weekly podcast about hockey, Poke Check Podcast. You can check that out on Buzzsprout.com and soon to be awfulradio.com.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
And thank you for having me on. It's been a blast.
No, thank you for coming in. Very happy you were able to cover for Chris. I definitely appreciate that. Again, you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. Don't forget to check in every Tuesday on the Ham Radio Show from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., where Chris will be calling in usually around noontime to assist the show with their NFL picks and punishment, where there's a lot on the line. Did you hear about the competition?
They want me to kiss somebody's ass.
They want me to kiss my ass club.
Right, it's going to be, you have to bare-ass kiss. The loser has to bare-ass kiss the winner.
And they're going to make posters out of it.
Posters?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a very serious thing here.
Oh, Jesus.
Joe's getting a little nervous.
I am getting nervous. I'm looking to bribe somebody to take my lure. Because I'm Eddie's behind me. Eddie is the one who's kissing ass right now.
Awesome.
But it's only one win away from one loss away, you know.
Let's hope Joe doesn't have to kiss anybody's
ass. You know the
way
I play. So.
We know how you play.
Yeah.
I'm getting flashbacks of that, too.
I hope Joe doesn't have to kiss anybody's ass, and I hope nobody has to kiss Joe's ass, because I have a feeling it's going to be like a Miley Cyrus Purdue oven stuffer ass.
Oh, Christ.
Absolutely.
Sully's next. Shout out to them.
Yep, so he's on next live from noon to 2.
Some funny
Make
stuff.
Sure you give him a listen. All right, folks, that's going to be about it. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will see you next week, where we will review this week's games, preview next week's games, and, just talk about stuff.
You still have time to call your bookies. That's the best part.
Well, that's why we do it the show, is you can call your bookies before the game starts.
That's the best part of the show. I love that.
All right. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. Tattoos and Touchdowns, we are out of here.
Peace.